All right, we stopped the normal course of our programming to go live to Beirut. We have Sayed Hassan Nasrallah there, the Secretary General of Hezbollah. Let's listen in.
Water, borders. Of course, there is a problem. If we are weak, we cannot retrieve our rights as Lebanese. So we confront this challenge. We must confront this challenge. Our destiny in this beautiful country, our destiny, the test which God has given us, the test which we have been given, is that we have, in a neighboring country, which is occupied Palestine, the neighboring country is Palestine, of course, not Israel, but in this neighboring country, an entity has been established, an entity which is based upon hostility, upon terrorism, upon massacres and crimes from day one. And we have the responsibility of confronting this danger represented by this entity. After all these long years passed, we in Lebanon, we have a rich and long experience. How do we defend? How does a small country, and this experience is not just for Lebanon, this experience goes for any country, any small country. The basic question, how can a small country which has limited human capabilities and limited material capabilities, how can such a country defend its existence and defend its sovereignty and retrieve its territory in confronting a strong entity which is supported by all the superpowers in the world, which has the strongest army in the Middle East? How can such a small country defend itself against such an entity? We in Lebanon, we now have the richest experience in such a scenario, the richest political, military, security, and social and jihadist experience in this perspective. This experience now, which was created in Lebanon, this experience is made in Lebanon, and we were able to retrieve our territories and our detainees, and we were able to achieve a balance of deterrence and a balance of fear with this enemy, and we now have made this enemy calculate 100 times before he attacks once again Lebanon. This experience which we have in Lebanon is being taught in the most important universities and the most important strategic institutions in the world. And as we said, this experience was written with the blood, sweat, and ink of the Lebanese youngsters. This is the richest experience, how a small country can defend itself against a strong entity. We don't need to get experience from America, Spain, Switzerland, China, and Russia. Now the whole world, after the July 2006 war, the whole world began to study the experience of the victory of the resistance in the July 2006 war. This experience is based on an equation. Maybe this was not very clear in the past few years, in the past few decades. Of course, in the last few years, it has become a little more clearer, and we have certain descriptions for this experience. The equation is the army, resistance, and the people, or people, army, and resistance. This is a new equation, a unique equation, and it was successful in Lebanon and was able to achieve a lot. We, of course, are responsible to maintain and to preserve this equation and to further promote and strengthen this equation, and to strengthen the relation and the ties between the army, resistance, and the people. And here I want to go into the first point, the issue of the arms of the Lebanese army or the Lebanese military. We in Lebanon, we say, I use the word say because sometimes we agree, we say we agree on something and in truth we don't agree. To say something is one thing, but to really have a commitment and to express our convictions as politicians is something totally different. We say that we agree on further strengthening the army and developing the army's capabilities and arming the Lebanese military. After the confrontation, the latest confrontation between the Lebanese and the Israeli soldiers in South Lebanon, in Adesia, and this was a very significant confrontation, after that confrontation, once again, the issue of arming the military was raised. What happened in the last confrontation? confrontation between the Lebanese and Israeli army uncovered a very important point, which is that the Americans, the arms which the Americans are giving to the Lebanese military or the Lebanese security services, whether this aid be conditional and whether this condition is are conditions made in public or not. And of course, we should not accept any conditions for receiving aid, but I didn't see any conditions. If there are conditions, this is wrong, but at least they assume, the Americans assume, they assume themselves that these weapons which they are giving to the Lebanese army, these weapons are not given to fight Israel, not to defend Lebanon against Israel. This is what the Americans believe. They believe these weapons are given for internal purposes. They call this purpose to confront terrorism. And the Lebanese state, the State Department raised this issue. Do we stop this arming of the Lebanese military or not? And even some members of Congress asked the question, let's go ahead, let's begin an investigation. These arms which were used by the Lebanese army, were these arms given to them by America, these arms which were used by the Lebanese army in the latest confrontation with the Israeli soldiers? This debate was going on in the United States of America. Of course, I believe that the conclusion which they will reach in the US is they will continue to arm the Lebanese military. But look at the excuse. Even if we are the excuse, that's no problem. The excuse which the Congress used to keep providing the Lebanese military with arms, which the Congress used, they said that if we want to continue being concerned with Lebanon, if we want to continue to hold on to the situation in Lebanon, if we want to continue to face the future challenges, if we want to continue to confront Hezbollah, we must arm the Lebanese military. We must not stop arming this military, because if we stop arming the Lebanese military, then Lebanon will fall into the hands of Hezbollah. This is what the Americans said. This is how they thought. So this is good. Even if we are the excuse for keep providing for the continued providing of the Lebanese army, we have no problem. If you don't want to arm the Lebanese military against Israel, let's assume we don't have Hezbollah. How should we act? Of course, previously, even in the economic perspective, in the last year, when I held many meetings with the former Lebanese Premier, the Martir Rafik Hariri, after we saw the demonstration by the laborers in Hayya Sulaym, after we saw some scuffles over there and some martyrs fell, at that time they said, what is the problem? We have, of course, certain demonstrations to overthrow the government. At that time, I met with former Premier, the Martir Rafik Hariri, and that was the beginning of a long process of meetings. And one of the issues, one of the points mentioned to me by Mr. Hariri was that we fear that economically the country will collapse in Lebanon. And I was surprised by what Hariri said, by his answer. Mr. Hariri answered me and he said that the main reason which will prevent the economic collapse of Lebanon is the whole world won't allow for the Lebanese economy to deteriorate or collapse. It won't allow us to get forward or make progress, but it won't allow us to collapse. I asked him why. Why won't they let us? He answered me and he said, international evaluation says if the economic situation collapses, we will put Lebanon in the hands of Hezbollah. So because of you, they won't allow the economic situation to deteriorate. So we find this okay. We accept this. They have a hostile perspective towards Hezbollah. Yes, it's a negative perspective towards Hezbollah. But in the end, it does serve the country. They fear Lebanon. They fear that Lebanon will fall into the hands of Hezbollah. But this helps in some way or another, because due to their fear of Hezbollah, they arm the Lebanese military. Because they want to maintain the economic stability and prevent Hezbollah from taking control of the country, they help preserve the economic life of Lebanon. I would like to tell you, even the issue of Ghajar, the village in South Lebanon, many efforts are being pursued to convince the Israeli enemy to withdraw from the Lebanese section of the Rajar village in South Lebanon, because there is no doubt about it, there is no disagreement. This section is occupied by Israel and it's Lebanese territory. Even Israel recognizes this. It's not like the issue of the Kfar Shuba Hills or the Shuba Farms. The Israeli enemy considers these territories are for Israel or for Syria, but not for Lebanon. When it comes to Rajar, the northern section of Rajar, everybody confesses that this is Lebanese territory, and all of the efforts, all of the international efforts, are trying to convince Israel to withdraw from Rajar. And you know what they use to convince Israel? They don't try to convince Israel by international law. They don't try to say this is Lebanese territory which you must withdraw from, and this is against international law and international agreements. They say, withdraw from this territory, give it to the Lebanese government, because this weakens Hezbollah. This is the argument they use. This weakens the argument for preserving the resistance. And I'd like to tell you, Israel will not withdraw except if there is resistance, except by resistance. Even if we don't fight for the sake of this territory, they will never withdraw except because of resistance. Resistance is the only reason which will make them withdraw from any occupied territory. Let's go to the issue of unanimous agreement. We all call for arming the Lebanese military. There are many options we have for this. Number one, to go ahead and propose a special budget for buying arms. And this will cost a lot, of course, because a budget means the government will say, from where should we get the money? We don't have any resources, let's increase the taxes. But people are in no need of more taxes, and we go back into the same circle of problems. The second is donations. This is what the Lebanese president called for. This is something good, donations. And as the president said, it is a good idea, and in addition to that, General Michel Aoun also said this, and he knows the structure of the army, and he said the same thing. Others said, and I will, of course, continue with what they said, donations are not enough to arm a Lebanese military. Donations are not enough to arm a Lebanese military. Let's be very clear and frank. Just a few months ago, I had a meeting with the Committee for Supporting the Resistance, brothers and sisters, and I told them all of the donations which are gathered together by the Lebanese resistance cannot arm the Lebanese resistance, cannot satisfy the needs of the Lebanese resistance. But the value of these donations from our perspective, first and foremost, is a moral. It's a moral value. It's a sympathetic value. Of course, I have money, I can help with money. People, if they can't help with anything else, they help with money. But these donations which are gathered are not enough to satisfy the needs of the resistance, and they cannot arm a military. Donations are not enough. They are a good step, but are not enough. We have a third alternative, a third option, and today I called on the Hezbollah ministers in the government. If we have a certain occasion in the cabinet of ministers, let them raise this. I called on the Hezbollah ministers to raise this issue. This option is that we have friends, we have brotherly countries, we have many Arab countries. All of the Arab countries say that they love Lebanon and that they care for Lebanon and they support Lebanon. Okay, great. And we also have very, very friendly countries. We'll begin with the closest countries. Of course, the closest countries should be mentioned first and foremost. I propose, after the responsible party in the state, whether it be the Defense Council or the Cabinet, when they decide that these weapons are the weapons which we need, the quantity and quality of weapons, when they make this decision, a decision must be made in the Cabinet to get these weapons. Then delegations must be put together. We go to the Arab countries. We say, we don't want money. Do you have weapons? You have jungles of weapons. You have many different types of weapons. You have rockets. Rocket launches, you have ammunition, you have this stored, and our army is on the border defending our country. Please give us some weapons. We don't want money. Give us weapons, give us equipment. Do you have rocket launches, anti-tank weapons, anti-aircraft weapons, tanks? What do you have? And this is, of course, related to how Lebanon wants its army to be and how this army should fight. So we could take this step, and this does not need a budget of 2011, nor does it need a new program. We are in a unique situation right now. We are in a tense area. The other day when the confrontations took place between the Lebanese army and the Israeli army, were it not for the Israeli calculations, the confrontation between the Lebanese and the Israeli army was more dangerous than the kidnapping of two soldiers on the border. We had an Israeli officer who was killed, a high-ranking officer who was killed. We had another officer who was wounded. We had martyrs on the Lebanese side. In Kiryat Shmona, they didn't go down to the shelters, they went in the buses and left, because they believed that this incident, if we compare it to two martyrs, it should have led to a war, but it did not lead to a war. This is not the issue I want to discuss tonight, of course. We are in a tense area, a tense region. And so we don't need to continue and wait 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years and to continue with these studies. The army should decide the quantity and quality of its weapons, and the next step should be Lebanese delegations to go to the Arab countries and look for weapons. Let Iran be last, so you don't criticize us. Let's begin with the Arab countries. You, our Arab brotherly countries, we are Arab country, an Arab country just like you, part of the Arab League. Go ahead and help us. Help us. Help us equip our Lebanese army. Of course, regarding Iran, and they spoke about Iran and how Iran could arm the Lebanese army. You know, about over 1 year ago, I raised the issue of getting arms from Iran, arms for the Lebanese military from Iran. They said that if the Lebanese opposition wins the elections, the countries which will arm the Lebanese military will no longer be the same countries. At that time, I said we could resort to our friends in Syria and Iran. At that time, all hell broke loose, because we have political divisions in this country, and these political divisions remain. Whatever we say, if we say are correct or not, they criticize us. And the same goes for us, maybe. There is a problem. We have political divisions in this country. Now, of course, they are saying there is no problem. We will agree getting arms from Iran without any conditions. Of course, Iran doesn't have any conditions. It will give equipment to the Lebanese army without any conditions. Of course, this issue has been raised once again, and I call on the Lebanese government to take a decision to request Iranian assistance in arming the Lebanese military. Of course, we helped you with the enemies when it comes to America, because America is giving arms to the Lebanese military so Lebanon doesn't fall into the hands of Hezbollah. On the other hand, now with our friends, I pledge that Hezbollah will do its utmost and take advantage of all of its friendly ties with Iran so that Iran can help in arming the Lebanese military as much as it can. I'm not speaking about buying arms, no. I'm speaking about assistance. And I think if an official request is made by a government, if a clear request is made, sometimes we speak generally. We call on Iran to help us in general. But this does not help. We must make a clear request. We must tell our brothers in Iran, this is our perspective, and we need this type of weapons. Help us with whatever you can. Of course, after the holy month of Ramadan, the President of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Dr. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, will come to Lebanon with a ministerial delegation, I believe. And during the meetings between the Iranian and Lebanese sides, maybe this issue could be raised. Maybe a Lebanese delegation could be sent to Iran. I believe that the Islamic Republic of Iran, which gave Lebanon for 28 years, ever since the Israeli invasion in 1982, ever since that year, Iran has given Lebanon in an unlimited way, and it will continue to do so. It will not stand back when it comes to providing the Lebanese military. This is concerning the arming of the Lebanese military. And another point I want to speak of tonight is the issue of the Israeli spies. Now, We can say that Lebanon is waging a daily security war against Israel. In the last speech, I said that more than 100 spies have been arrested. The official ministry said 150 spies, and the number keeps going, numbers keep going. In the past few days, more spies have been apprehended. We can assume that we are waging a serious and real security war against Israel, and the efforts must continue to uncover the spies, and the efforts are continuing. We must continue judicially. We must continue the judicial process, and the death penalties must continue. This process takes 1, 2, or 3 years, reaching a verdict and implementing the verdict. I call here on the politicians some others have called for. I call for forming a court. If we don't want to make any changes in the judicial process, in the judicial bodies, I call on the Lebanese judiciary to act in an emergency way, not to act in a routine manner, in an emergency manner. When we are in a state of war, we specify emergency laws. We behave in a unique way. So I believe this is the way the judicial bodies must behave. It must behave in a quick manner, not in a routine manner, in order to tackle this situation and end the process of verdicts and implementing the verdicts against the spies. Our aim here is not revenge, no, not at all. But we believe that beginning with the implementation of the death penalties against some of the spies who are given this verdict, we believe that hurrying up and implementing this verdict will have a big impact on how many spies collaborate with Israel. This will decrease the collaboration. This will make many people hesitate before collaborating with Israel. So our aim here is to stop this cooperation with Israel. Many spies began with their cooperation after 2005, after 2006. Yes, we do have old spies as well. But we have many new spies who began their spying activity in 2005 and 2006. And the Israelis continue to recruit more spies. What makes someone hesitate and not be recruited by Israel? A death penalty. When these people see death penalties against spies, it will prevent Israel from recruiting more spies. This is something natural. Punishments reinvigorate the society. If we don't have any punishment, this destroys a society. So I call for emergency laws, emergency behavior in this regard. In addition, a spy harms himself, a spy insults himself. But the families of the spies must not be insulted. The father, mother, wife, children, daughters, sons of the spy are guilty of nothing. Even when it comes to the martyrs, my brothers remember when they used to tell me that martyrs fell, that we had a martyr who fell. The first question I must ask is this martyr, is he married or not? If they told me he is married, I ask the next question, does he have children or not? Are his mother and father still alive or not? So when a martyr falls, as a human being, sympathetically, what comes to your mind? The family of the person who has passed away, the mother, father, wife, and son and daughter. Even when it comes to the spy, first of all, I get concerned with the father and mother and the children and the wife of the spy or the husband of the spy. I, of course, am concerned a lot about the daughter of a spy, for example. When in a university they say this is a daughter of a spy or this is a son of a spy, children of a spy. This is something which nobody could do. This is something which we cannot accept. This is unacceptable behavior. And so we must stress that the families of the spies must not be insulted. Those who take responsibility for their mistake is the spy only. And the family of the spy must not be viewed, in addition to the party for which this spy belongs to, or his political affiliation. This should also be totally disregarded. The spy only is responsible for his activities. Politically, we also found that there are members of the Lebanese army who are spies. Do we then consider or conclude that the Lebanese army as a whole is evil? Of course not. This has been our logic time and again. Only the spy takes responsibility for his activities. And here I want to answer a question which some have raised regarding the issue of spies. Some insist on saying, yes, all of the Lebanese parties could include spies, and maybe they have spies which have penetrated them, and even Hezbollah might be included. But I would like to tell you, Hezbollah is different. The structure of Hezbollah is different. Now, the popular supporters of Hezbollah are people who support us. They express their support, they participate in our ceremonies, they elect us. They elect us in the municipal elections, in the legislative elections. They are our supporters. We don't have any files for them. And so, do we have spies amongst the popular supporters of Hezbollah? Maybe. Maybe. But when it comes to Hezbollah as an organization, every individual in the organization of Hezbollah is that we have files. The difference between Hezbollah and other Lebanese parties is that Hezbollah has continued with resistance and was on a daily confrontation with the Israelis and was targeted most of all by the Israelis, because the Israelis were working against Hezbollah day and night. They tried to penetrate us. They tried to know where we hide our weapons. They tried to know where our bases are, where our military camps are, our leaderships, our plans, our intentions, our tactics, etc., etc. And so the Israelis attempted time and again to penetrate us, and we were concerned with preventing this penetration. And so Hezbollah, for 28 years, Hezbollah has in its organization a wing which is called the Wing of Confronting Espionage. This wing has the job of preventing spies penetrating into Hezbollah. And I'd like to tell you, this is the strongest wing of its kind, or the strongest committee, if we could say, of its kind in Lebanon. And I explained in the last press conference that anyone who wants to enter into this organization is subject to investigation and is subject to questioning and interrogation, even if he is the son of the Hezbollah Secretary General. Whatever or whoever he may be, he is subject to this interrogation. When I say no, we have no Israeli spies amongst us, meaning Hezbollah. I'm not saying this because we are Hezbollah. I'm saying this because we have a long experience. We are immune to Israeli espionage. And when some insist, in spite of the fact that I said we are not penetrated by the Israeli spies, of course, one Lebanese Security Service Agency told us that we have three brothers in Hezbollah who have been violated by Israel, who were recruited by Israel. I answered this and I said, we question these three people, and no, they are not recruited. They have not been involved in espionage activity. And we will hold a press conference in this regard to discuss this subject, because the basis on which they, or the foundations on which they base their accusations of Hezbollah, including spies, this is no clear foundation. So we will hold a press conference to discuss this issue, maybe after the holy month of Ramadan. And this is one of the issues which we will delay until that time. But tonight, what I would like to say on this table of iftar, I would like to say that we have defended ourselves and we don't have any Israeli spies in Hezbollah. And if we did have, we wouldn't have been victorious in the July 2006 war. One of the main reasons behind our victory in the July 2006 war was that we were immune to Israeli espionage. They came and they bombarded all places, but the rocket launchers, the communications of a resistance was not targeted. Why were they not targeted? Because Israel didn't have any information, and hence we can conclude that there were no spies amongst Hezbollah. The third main issue, the issue of false witnesses. We discussed this before, and the government said, okay, let's call on the Minister of Justice to begin with a study regarding this issue. How can we continue to monitor this? Nobody should overreact and say that the government was able to call on the false witnesses and was able to hold them accountable. No, this has not happened. And so when we have the problem of distribution of authority, the government has not made this decision. What the government did do, and this is a good step, the Minister of Justice was called upon to begin with a legal study to look into the methods. How could we address this issue of false witnesses? Why? Because we have a cause. Today, or yesterday, the official spokeswoman of the International Tribunal for the Hariri assassination said, "I am not concerned with the false witnesses. Here, I don't want to argue with the International Tribunal, but this is something which is very strange. We have false witnesses who misled the investigation for 4 years, and the International Tribunal said, this does not concern me." Of course, this is a legal argument, which we will discuss, and it's also a moral argument and an argument of truth and justice. And if the International Tribunal says this is not my speciality, the Lebanese judiciary says, they say it's not also our speciality. Now, does the International Tribunal control what the Lebanese judiciary can do? The Lebanese judiciary says the International Tribunal has told us that it's not our area of expertise. Does the International Tribunal dictate on the Lebanese judiciary what it should do? If nobody is specialized to address this issue, it means that all those who were subject to injustice by false witnesses should go and achieve justice for themselves. This is dangerous for the country. It's something very dangerous to the country. The appropriate way to address the matter is, how should we address the false witnesses? Of course, the attempts which we witness today, we enter into arguments about the description. Are they false witnesses? Are they not false witnesses? How do we name them? Whatever you name them, the truth does not change. We have a group of individuals who misled the investigation. Call them whatever you want, false witnesses or not. We have a group of individuals who misled the investigation, and we have certain sides who created these false witnesses. They brought them, maybe they brought them, maybe these individuals approached certain sides and said, we want to testify, we want to make false testimonies. Maybe they were told to go to the international investigation and say X, Y, and Z. And go to the Lebanese judiciary and say X, Y, and Z. Maybe one day we will say everything. We will expose everything. Maybe. We might expose the whole truth. What you expect and what you don't expect. We have people who created and helped these false witnesses. Who are they? Who are these sides who assisted the false witnesses? Why do some people in Lebanon want to help in hiding these people, as they help in hiding Muhammad Zuhair al-Sadiq, the false witness, the main false witness? Why do you want to hold them? Why do you want to hide these sides who created the false witnesses? If you don't want to hold them accountable, don't hold them accountable. If you want to give them rewards, be my guest. But for the sake of justice, the Lebanese must all know who created and who fabricated the false witnesses and who misled the investigation for 4 years. This is a national right. This is a national right. And the voice must continue to be raised until the Lebanese get this right. Anyway, we will continue to follow up this issue, and the government has made a decision to look into this matter, and the Minister of Justice will, of course, take up this issue with the Lebanese government. The other point I'd like to speak of is the information which I provided in the last press conference about Israeli involvement in the assassination of former Premier Rafik Hariri. And this is one of the problems we have in the country. I said I did not present 100% credible information. If I did, we would have witnessed a different situation. I said I provided evidence which opened a new horizon in the investigation. Many people commented and said, I didn't give very credible, 100% credible evidence. What a big discovery. I myself said the same thing. This evidence is not 100% certain. There are certain people in Lebanon and outside Lebanon, politicians and media people, who get text messages which say, Why don't you comment this and that? Comment in this manner, X, Y, and Z, without having any clear information. So when I said we must listen to one another and read what we say to each other, this is what I meant. Not to make accusations, not to make comments without having clear information. Before the tripartite summit, the Saudi-Syrian-Lebanese summit in Lebanon, before that, we had certain developments, and then we saw the Lebanese-Syrian-Saudi summit, which led to a period of calm. And I said that there is evidence which we possess, and many said, okay, you don't recognize the International Tribunal, why don't you present this evidence which you have to the Lebanese judiciary? I said that if the Lebanese government requests this, we are ready. And the Lebanese Prime Minister requested this evidence, and we gave this evidence to the Lebanese judiciary. Then we had a new SMS message which was sent to politicians on the other side, on the side which opposes us. If you open the newspapers, you find them one after the other. The evidence given to the Lebanese judiciary means that Hezbollah recognizes the International Tribunal, as if they're playing games with us. You're saying give them to the Lebanese judiciary. I gave them to the Lebanese judiciary. And this had nothing to do with the international investigation. But some politicians say that if you just give this evidence to the Lebanese judiciary, this means you recognize the International Tribunal. No, this is not true. And I will not be dragged today into this game. I will not be dragged and make comments about the International Tribunal, but I would like to say no. I am not concerned with the International Tribunal or the international investigation, and I will make my comments at the appropriate time, God willing. Yes, if the Lebanese judiciary wants to continue cooperating, we are ready to cooperate with the Lebanese judiciary. Of course, a lot of the findings which I have are in the possession of the Lebanese security services, Lebanese army, the Lebanese state. We called on the Lebanese judiciary to open the investigation once again with the spies. When we have a spy who says that in 2006, I facilitated the entrance of an Israeli commander's unit into Lebanon, this unit stayed weeks and then exited. Did one Lebanese person, those who believe they want justice, did one go and open an investigation with this spy and say, do you remember when you facilitated their entry, when you facilitated their exit, to see during their presence in Lebanon this 2 or 3 weeks, who was assassinated, who was killed, what happened? Did anyone bother himself and go ahead with take such a step? I'm saying you have this information. Go ahead, use this information. The next point, electricity and water. The problem of electricity and water in the country. I confess that when it comes to war and when it comes to spies and when it comes to the International Tribunal, I have a lot of words to say. When it comes to electricity and water, it's a bit different. We have a clear problem in the country, the issue of electricity. And now we've been told that we might have a problem of water in the country. I'll say a few words about electricity and then about the water, and then we'll end. We have a real problem, and this is not a new problem, and this problem is not the responsibility of the current Minister of Energy and Water. Nobody should say, I'm defending my allies, nor am I defending the previous minister. Of course, the previous Minister of Energy was a Hezbollah minister. The current one is a member of the Aoun movement, also our ally. But this is not the reason we're defending this minister or this ministry in general. We have a crisis in the Lebanese electricity sector. And what contributed to this problem is the heat wave, which has been witnessed in Lebanon. And we even have this problem in many other countries, countries which have stability, which have high budgets. They also have the same problem in their electricity sector. First of all, I would like to say that I read in some newspapers that some of the movements or some of the events we witnessed, for example, the blocking of roads in some areas in protest of the electricity were due to political reasons. According to my information, this is not true. There is no political side behind the blocking of roads and the demonstrations against the electricity blackouts. No political reason for the opposition or the March 14 alliance. There are people who are putting up with a lot, and they believe if we go down to the street or not, if we burn tires or not, this does not solve the problem. Some others believe that they just cannot put up with it, and if they go down to the streets and burn tires, they could put pressure to address this problem. There is no political faction, Hezbollah or the Amal movement, and no political movement in the other team in the March 14, which is behind some of the demonstrations against the electricity blackouts. Let's take away the political issue. We also heard, and this is something funny, we also heard that what is happening is a demonstration, a preparation maybe, which one political faction is doing, and they meant us. They meant us. Because when the next government is overthrown, this preparation would be clear, this would be ready. This is just unacceptable, unacceptable and illogical. First of all, everyone in the country has taken the decision. We will continue in the government, we will continue to address the problems of the people, address the daily difficulties of the people, so we are not taking part in efforts to overthrow the government. And if we did want to overthrow the government, we don't need the street. We can overthrow the government in the parliament.
Well, it's time for us to stop that speech there. That was Said Hassan Nasrallah, Hezbollah Secretary General, giving a speech live in Beirut. I'll just give you a wrap of what he said in the last 40-45 minutes. He referred to Lebanon as a small country with limited possibilities, defending its sovereignty against an entity, referring to the Israeli entity, that has the support of the U.S. and other Western governments. He was wondering how that can be possible, and that was because of the experience that Lebanon has gained, actually, in the course of the past few wars Israel launched against it. He was actually referring to the Lebanese capabilities, reminding Israel's failed attempts in attacking the country. He was referring to July 20, for example, 2006 war that taught Lebanon a good experience to withstand Israeli threats. Referring to a village on the border area, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah said the northern part of the village does belong to Lebanon. This is what everybody in the international community approves of, and he urged Israel to give it back to Lebanon, but he said Israel would never withdraw from that region unless it sees pressure on the side of the resistance. As for arming the Lebanese army, he said that donations are not enough to equip the army. He said it is a moral value to help Lebanon equip, but at the same time, that's not efficient. And he said Arab countries speak of supporting and actually direct quote loving Lebanon and Hezbollah resistance. He said, okay, we'll go to Arab countries once the parliament and government in Lebanon decides the quantity and quality of the arms they need to equip the army. He said they should go to Arab countries and ask for military hardware and ammunition instead of money. And he said after Ramadan, President Ahmadinejad from Iran also will visit Lebanon, and maybe later on a Lebanese delegation could go to Iran and discuss in terms of equipping the Lebanese army. In connection with Israeli spies, he asked the Lebanese judiciary to act promptly and efficiently in bringing justice to the spying convicts who deserve, in his opinion, the death penalty. He said this way, collaboration with Israeli espionage activities would diminish. He said Hezbollah has no spies, and if anyone has any evidence to prove that, why don't they just simply put forth that evidence? He said it's a national right for everyone to know everything about the witnesses against Hezbollah. He called them false witnesses, and said the Minister of Justice will look into the issue, and everyone should know everything about those false witnesses. Regarding Israel's involvement in Hariri's assassination, he said he provided evidence that some people say it's not 100% proof. He also accepted the idea. He said that's what he himself called, but he just wanted to open up a new prospect and give an idea about the depth of the crime. And he said giving this evidence to the International Tribunal does not necessarily mean that Hezbollah recognizes it. And finally, he touched upon the problem of electricity and water in Lebanon. He said that's a crisis now. He did not blame the incumbent officials for that, but he called for the crisis to be dealt with properly. Okay, we should stop that for now and move on with the news bulletin.